Good to see you tonight. Good evening, everyone. Looking forward to just getting through our study of Colossians. And so let's turn our Bibles there again. Appreciate Brother Jim and Becky and all their labors in outback Australia, now into Gympie. And appreciate those who just had the heart to be there and willing to take part in the birthing of a church. It's a privilege to be part of that as a church, and glad for everyone that was able to make it and minister there. And let's continue to pray and labor for the Lord that way in regard to the work there. And we were over there on Friday, and we were chatting, and you know, we were remarking how, you know, everyone likes to see a birth, but it's the work is in the raising of the church. And we want to continue that as a church. We believe that churches plant churches, and we want to be able to just support that, to see it really grow and see it really blessed of the Lord. So looking forward to that. And just, again, just good to see pictures there and sort of visualize. Not everyone has been able to see the hall and all of that. So it's good for us as a church so we can pray more effectively. So let's turn our Bibles again to Colossians chapter 1. And we're just going to begin reading in verse 9. We looked really at who Paul was. We talked about who the church is. And last week we looked at who Epaphras is. And the whole first, really the first chapter speaks of the who's who in this letter. And now we're going to look at what's Paul's desire for the church. And, you know, we spoke there just then about the birth of a church, and the church isn't a building, it's a group of people, right? It's a called out assembly. And so as God adds to the church, there's going to be that birthing of new believers. And just like we do for our children, we ought to have a desire for those believers, and we ought to have a desire for ourselves and for those around us that God has given us. And he's really going to outline that. Look at verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And notice this, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But the first couple of verses there that we read, he says there he doesn't cease to pray for them to desire. And so really, as the Apostle Paul, again, who has never met this group of people, as he was looking and thinking about them, he begins to pray for them, and he says he doesn't cease to pray for them about these things that he desires. And so really the things we pray are a revealer of those things that we desire for others. Those things, and you know, sometimes we pray things that are, in a sense, very temporal. You know, the things that have, the needs that people have, and that's a good thing, right? We ought to pray for both little and bigger requests. But all of these things he's praying for is those things that he desires of all of the saints in Colossae. And these ought to be things that we desire for one another, and things that we ought to be praying for one another. And we understand there's some specific requests, and we ought to pray with some sort of specificity, and we ought to look at that and go, look, we know each other and we have a knowledge of one another, but actually there's some things that are just inherent in the Christian life that we ought to desire for one another. And we're going to look at that tonight and go through these verses and see those things that Paul desires. What was Paul's desire? What was Paul's intention? And we ought to ask ourselves that question when we're praying for one another. What is our desire for each other? What are the things that the outcomes in our lives that we desire from the Lord? And And these things, I think, ought to be part of that, the makeup of that, as we get into, really get into a time where we ought to be praying one for another. There's just a great need for that. And this was Paul's intended goal for each believer, that as they're grounded and settled, that these will be produced in their lives. These would be outcomes. These would be the things that he desires if he was to meet these people would be true in their lives. And so he goes on and he starts there in verse 9. He says, "There, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." So first thing that he desires for the church there in Colossae, for the saints there, is that they would have the knowledge of his will. You know, I was thinking about that and just the importance of knowing God's will, of pursuing it. And, you know, I think by and large, if you look around and all the different giftings and all of the different different backgrounds of all of God's people, you understand that all of us, we all have a course to run, right? There's some things about the will of God that we all would generally know, that we see in the Word of God. We know that there's things that he has said, this is the will of God. But then there's all those other sort of secret things that are more specific to you and I, more specific to your course. And my course isn't your course. And your course isn't my course. It's the will of God. It's a seeking after that. And many times, though, the reality is, if we were to be honest and we were to examine Christendom in its generalities, I wonder what percentage, I wonder how many actually have a knowledge of his will. I wonder when was it the last time that as we observed ourselves and observed those around us in our church, I wonder when the last time we ourselves just thought, I wonder what God's will is for me. I wonder how I'm going. I wonder if I know the will of God. As I mentioned, there's some things that are revealed in the Word of God, because firstly, he says you need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That means that the knowledge of the will of God is something to be known. All right? There's some things that probably when you started school, you had no knowledge of, right? You could hardly add 1 + 1. And you got taught that in prep, and you got taught that, and you got taught different things, and you grew in the knowledge of mathematics. And in the same way, there's a way to know that. There's a way to know God's will. It's the knowledge of his will. And so there's things that we ought to desire, that we ought to pray for in others' lives and in our own lives, that we would just have a knowing of his will. You know, one of the things I'm very aware of in my own life, and as God has given us stewardship over our children, is for our children to know the will of God. Hey, parents, listen, when was the last time you prayed that your children were filled with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the will of God? Is it something that we're actively desiring for our children and desiring for those in our church, maybe a family or maybe a husband or a wife that you know, and you understand all of us in our different callings, in our different places, there's a will of God to follow. You know, one of the things that should be a knowledge of the will of God in your in our lives is just the will of God of being saved. God's will for everyone is for them to be saved. Right, church? Right? He's not slack concerning his promise that all shall come to repentance. And that's something that we ought to desire. You know, that's something that we've prayed for and desired in our children's lives. We've sought the Lord about that. And it's a daily prayer. It's a daily desire that our children, as they get older, they just know the will of God about salvation. And I hope that that's your desire. Just recently, and we've been talking to our children a lot about that. And, you know, God's been doing a work in our family that way. I was actually thinking about it. Our kids, they've all made a profession of faith, and they've all done it here in Queensland. And I was just like, yeah, you know, God's done that here. Just recently, and he's been wanting to testify himself. So I'm actually going to have him come. All right, I don't normally do this. I was wrestling with it. He's about to turn seven, but I was seven when I got saved. But he's been badgering me all day, all right? So I'm going to have Jaden come. And we're going to find a microphone. And the men are going to direct me. It's the blue one. Will this work, guys? So this week we were driving, and we'll just sit here because it's more comfortable. You sure? Okay. So he's going to be seven in a couple of days, really, beginning of September. And I really wrestled, but the verse that came to mind was, suffer not the little children. And it's childlike faith. And I was just thinking there, and honestly, beginning of the service, he said, Dad, I want to come up and tell everyone. And I was like, son, I don't know. And he's like, no, I'm sure. And so we were driving on Thursday. I had to pick him up early and said, Dad, what are we doing? And I said, we're going to the doctor. He had a doctor's appointment, and he said, what are they going to do? And I told him, well, they're going to look at your body. And he said, they're going to cut up my body? And I said, no, not at all. And he's been asking a lot about how to get saved. He's been asking a lot about that. Like most weeks he'll ask. Now, I think I told the church before, one time I did ask him, why do you want to get saved? And he said, because, Dad, I want to drink the juice in the Lord's. You remember that? Sorry to embarrass you, Jaden. But this time I asked him. I said, Jaden, why do you want to get saved? And he said, what did you say? I want to...
save.
You want to get saved? Yeah.
Yes.
And he said, I want to get saved. And I said, what does that mean? And I began to tell him about that. Began to say, look, it's the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And do you understand what sins are? And what did you say?
Hell.
Yep, and he said, yeah, if I sin, I'm going to hell. And then I asked him, "What? Do you know what hell is? And some of you are like, you spoke to your kid about hell? Yes, because it's a Bible doctrine. And I said, yeah, it's eternal darkness and fire. And he looked at me, and I was driving. We were on our way to the appointment 25 minutes away. And he said, Dad, I don't want to go to hell. He goes, I'm not saved. Remember that? Yeah. Saying, I'm not saved. I said, well, son, if you want to get saved, what do you need to do? And I went through that. I said, you've got to call on the Lord to save you. You've got to trust in his sacrifice. And what did Jesus do on the cross?
Died for our sins.
Yeah. And so I was asking him that, and he was saying those things, and I thought, oh, he's starting to really understand. And we sat together, you know, my wife and I, we've been praying. His siblings have been praying. And I thought, maybe it's the right time. And so I just asked him, I said, so what do you need to do? And I said, you've got to call out to the Lord. What does that mean? And he said, I've got to pray. And, you know, it wasn't a repeat after me. He prayed his own. And what did you pray, Jaden?
Be my Savior.
Yeah. He just prayed, Jesus, be my Savior. And just that cry. And again, you know, maybe this is just a stepping stone. It's a real thing. But we've been praying for the will of God in his life. And, you know, afterwards, he was so excited. He said, I want to tell everyone. And I didn't know what it meant, but this is what it meant. And I asked him, I said, why do you want to tell everyone? He goes, because I just love everyone, right? And he's just got a concern. And he said, oh, I need to tell my cousin Chloe, you know? And they were over on Saturday, and he was a little evangelist and started saying, Chloe, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, and you just need to. And you pray right now, he said. So, Jaden, if you were to die tomorrow, where would you go?
Heaven.
What about if you died in 10 years' time?
Still heaven.
So, hey, good job. Thank you. You can sit down. I fulfilled my end of the bargain. And I hope that encourages you, because when you desire and you pray, you know, God can answer. You know, too many times we sort of just think it'll just happen. But there ought to be at least a desire. You know, those of us who just are around others, we ought to desire that they would be filled with the knowledge of God, the will of God. And so there's that knowing of that knowledge is learning, knowing facts, illumination of the mind. And God's will is something that can be learned. It's something that can be known. And it's based on truth that God shows us. He says in Ephesians 5:17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And so again, just being filled, knowing, there's a knowing of it. So if the will of God can be known, then we've got to seek to know it. And again, when was the last time in our own lives and we've desired that in our own lives and prayed? And yet he says, filled with the knowledge of his will. It's something that we can fill ourselves. Something that if we don't have much knowledge of it, actually, we can have greater knowledge of it. You know, if you start off and there's a little bit in the tank, you could keep filling it up. And you can keep until overflowing. And there's those things that we can put in that will result in us knowing more of God's will in our lives. You know, many times he's saying, if you seek me, you'll find me. Many times he reveals it through sanctification, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Many times we just reveal it in just our gratitude, for this is the will of God, that we're just thankful. It's thanksgiving. And it's spiritual living, and we fill our lives with that, then we're being filled with the knowledge of God's will. Do you desire that? Do you desire that for those that you're ministering to? Do you desire that in your family, those that are your siblings, your parents? Do you desire that? And then at the end of it, God's will is something to follow, because he goes on and he says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual instruction, understanding. You know, that word wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. That's what it is. There's a following of that. The spiritual understanding is spiritual comprehension of one's present state and circumstances. It's discernment. And so God's will is more this following after. It's often, I like to say, God's will is a path that leads to a destiny. It's a direction that we're supposed to take. And the destiny is known. It's to be more like Jesus. That is ultimately God's will for us. But then the path is the thing and the direction that we follow. And the will of God is to be followed, not just known. And so we see the first desire that he had for the church there, for those of Colossae, is that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Secondly, he says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. All right, that's another desire for God's people there. That they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And ultimately, we understand that God's desire is that we would please him, right? That we would please him. And he's saying that we would walk worthy of that. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That we would please God in our day-to-day. And you know, there's this great picture in the Bible of our life is a course to walk. It's a course to run. And our walk on earth, it should be one worthy and pleasing unto the Lord. And again, that's the prayer of our Paul here, his intention, his desire for those believers. And that ought to be our desire too for ourselves and our church. You know, as we go around, that we would desire that they would walk worthy of the Lord. And what that is, he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And you remember, as we were previously, before salvation, walking the course of this world, right? But after salvation, we're supposed to follow after Christ. And that's the walking that he's speaking about in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, and created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, what? Walk in them. And so there's a change of course. There's a change of life that God has for us, and that's our walk. And what that is, it's really referring to your testimony, our testimony before God and man. He says that there in Romans chapter 13. Turn there with me really quickly. Romans 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And speaking about there, the complete redemption one day in Christ. And says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And notice what he says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. So all of that is to walk so that we would walk honestly before God. He says, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. He's really characterizing those who don't walk honestly, those who are not in Christ, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In Ephesians 4:1, he says that we would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so he uses those words, really our walk and that picture of that and that vocation, that course that we're supposed to take in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we ought to desire that. But when was the last time we just evaluated whether we were following after the path that God has given us? When was the last time we just asked the Lord to just show us if we're walking worthy like we should? Worthy of His name. Worthy of the salvation that God has given us. And our prayer should be that others would walk in a way that's pleasing to God as to testify of His working in their lives. One of the primary concerns of discipleship and one of the primary concerns of just working with people from salvation to maturity is that they would walk worthy. Is that they would just take that walk with the Lord and follow after Him. And it's our testimony before God and man. And we ought to be concerned with our own walk. And we ought to be concerned that we're following after Christ like we should, and that's just walking worthy. Saying that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But then he follows up and he says in verse 10 again, go back to Colossians chapter 1. And he says there, he goes, being fruitful in every good work. You know, God's not just wanting us to take this journey and walk worthy. He's wanting us to produce fruit for Him. And he's saying that he would be fruitful in every good work. And we already saw there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we're saved unto good works. We're not saved because of good works, but we're saved unto good works. And he's saying there that we would, in all of that, in really following after Christ and then that walk, that we would be fruitful in every good work. You know what Paul desired in the life of the saints in Colossae? That they would be fruitful in their life. How's your fruit? You know, the Bible tells us in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How's your fruit, young person? How's the fruitfulness? Hey, are we praying for those around us? And maybe it might be that we have a different vocation. It might be that you're a husband. And wives, listen, when was the last time you prayed that your husband would be fruitful in their work for the Lord? As a husband, in their witness and all of that. Maybe husbands, when was the last time you prayed for your wife to be fruitful in her good work? And listen, that's a good work, being a mother. And how many times do we pray that for some of those who our young adults in our church, do we look at them and the potential that they have and we just pray for fruit in their lives? You know, and I would dare say, if you could pray for me, pray that I'd be fruitful in my good work. And we would do well if we would just do that. Why? Because in much fruit, there's much glory to the Lord. And we ought to be fruitful in our work. He says, and let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it's a testimony to Him when we desire fruitfulness in our lives. It's a testimony when we bear fruit. And so we ought to pray for our fruitfulness and others' fruitfulness. Why? Because it glorifies God. But then he goes on, and in verse 10 again, he says that we might Being fruitful in every good work. And here's the next desire that Paul had, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, we already saw there that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will, but now it's speaking about increasing in the knowledge of God Himself. And what he's saying there, one of the wonders really of the Christian life is the fact that we can know God, but we can know God intimately. And it's not merely academic. It's this understanding that, again, as we're walking with Him, we're walking to get to know Him. And you know, there's that verse, can two walk together except they be agreed? And as we begin to agree more with the Lord and all of who He is, then we're learning all about Him. We're growing, we're increasing in our knowledge of God. And that's a good prayer. You know, one of the detriments of our world is just the lack of time to just be still and know. And you've got to purpose that. You know, how many times this week did we pray for those around us in our family, in our church, that they would just get to know God more? Hey, wouldn't that fix a lot of ills in our society if people just knew God more, knew His mind, knew His heart, knew His purpose, knew His desires, knew all of that, what gives Him joy, what pleases Him? What does God think about this area of or this situation? And it's about knowing God. When we know God, then all of those things fall into place. And it's beyond these facts or figures. It's really an experiential knowing, getting to know Him. You know, there's that saying, for those of you who are married, right? Love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. Right? There's some things that you know about your wife or your husband, but as you continue to live, as you continue to just do life together, what happens? You tend to find out more, and you tend to get to know them more. And that's the same way with the Lord as we walk with Him, and that's a great desire. In fact, all of us ought to desire to know God more. That's a good desire, and that's something we ought to pray for. And you know, there's two ways we can know Him. We can know Him expositionally, and by that I mean through His Word. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know what that is? The Word of God. And so the mind of God is written down in black and white in the 66 books of the canon of Scripture, and these are the words of the living God. And so when we pray, what we're actually praying is, Lord, help me to know you more in your word. And so how do we do that? We get in the word. How do we do that? We purposely spend the time and study and meditate on the word of God. But then also experientially, and we spoke about that, he says it, Paul says it in a different setting in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, many times the reason why we don't really experience God and get to know Him that way is because we don't want to suffer. We want comfort. We want everything just to work out, and you know, it's just a bit of a giggle here and there about God. But actually, the reality is sometimes we suffer. God allows us to go through that. You know. That's the fellowship of His suffering. And we know God through the troubles that we go through and the reality. And anyone who's gone through anything knows. If they approach trouble and trial that way, they've come out of it knowing God far more. And so that's part of it, just going through that experience. But then lastly, he says they're strengthened with all might. Say strengthened with all might. And what that is, that was a prayer for just God-given strength. So this was a prayer for spiritual strength. And, you know, as we go about and we see some of the things that buffet us as believers, this is just a good prayer, a good desire for other Christians and for yourself, that you just be stronger in the Lord, that you be strengthened with all might. And he says, according to his glorious power, it's about reliance. You know, we know that verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so a deeper reliance on Christ produces greater strength in our lives. In Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And where there's that reliance on the Lord. And then he says, we're strengthened unto all patience and long-suffering. You know what that is? It's endurance. You know what endurance is? It's endurance is strength over time. And, you know, we have those in our church who go on long-distance runs, and what it is, they have strength, but they're allowing it to be used over time. And so that's what endurance is. It's strength over time. And he's saying there, with all patience and long-suffering. And so as we suffer long, as we have patience in God, then what it is, it's producing that strength over time. And Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I'll tell you what, this world will want to weary and make you faint. And the only thing that can get us through is that waiting upon the Lord. And we're supposed to have patience and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that waiting and hoping that produces that. But then he says, lastly, they're strengthened with all might unto his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. Then he says, with joyfulness. You know, sometimes we equate the word endurance, hey, to just gritting our teeth. But he says, no, it's with joyfulness. Hey, listen, that's the difference when we rely on the Lord for strength. The joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. So actually, just that joyfulness in the Lord, that joy that he produces in our lives, that's the thing that just causes us, it's a result, but also the filler in our lives for that endurance and that strengthening. You know, joy is a heavenly endowment of peace through any circumstance. And it's a given thing, and we ought to pray for joy in the Lord. We ought to pray for that. And again, there's too many Christians who are just gritting their teeth and they're enduring, but not with much joyfulness. They're enduring, but they're just complaining. They're enduring, but they're just whining their way through life. Listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so with joyfulness. And so at the end of it, those were the things that Paul desired. I wonder if we desire that firstly in our own lives. Is that something we pray for? This is just a good list to memorize. Just be a good list to add to your prayer list to say, Lord, I'm going to pray this for me. But just pray this for others. Hey, listen, here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes I just run out of things to pray. Just as I'm thinking of others, and maybe I'm just not so clued in with everyone's needs. And this is a good default list, is what I'm saying. And we ought to desire this in our church to be evident in others' lives, because at the end of it, then I think there's just that strengthening and that grounding and settling that really what Paul ultimately was going to challenge the church about was that they would be grounded and settled Christians. And so just a good list to just focus on this week. And may we just really just, as we've been talking about, may we be filled with the knowledge of His will. May we desire that. May we desire that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Would we desire that we would, and again, with strengthen our being, be fruitful in every good work and strengthen with all might. And again, with joyfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we need more and more to desire what you desire. And Father, too many times we sort of just walk without any real desire for anything that matters. Lord, we ask for at times things that can be a little trivial, but Lord, the things that could make all the difference. I think about the challenge that someone gave me one day. What if tomorrow you only got the things that you prayed for yesterday? And I think about that even tonight, and so many things that perhaps could have happened in our lives and others' lives if we would just had prayed them. And may these things be inherent in how we pray each and every day. And so we commit these things to you and pray that you just bless our week ahead In Jesus' most precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen.